words from the Lord. I've had so many dreams, for the past couple of weeks, and I've asked the Lord to reveal some things to me, and some things I didn't quite understand, and others tried to give me interpretations, but their interpretations was not what the Lord was saying. So finally, when I did get them, the interpretations, then I understood why the Lord gave us this word for us to have today. Father, bless your word. Move by your mighty power. Take me completely out of the way and speak through us. Let us use this vessel as a mouthpiece for you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The first place I'm going to have you to turn to is going to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 14. And this morning we're going to talk about the banquet. I have a dream, one of many, within the past week and a half. And I remember that in the dream we were celebrating something to do with Dr. Man. I don't know exactly what it was, but I know that it was a celebration. I knew that it was a celebration. And what I saw was, I saw a lot of food. Food was everywhere. And it amazed me the amount of food. It was a feast. But the strangest thing that I saw was this, that I didn't see any people. And so when I thought about it and I pondered over it, and I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to show me? What is the meaning of this dream? So then I began to look through the scriptures, search the scriptures to see what it was that I could find out that God was saying about the banquet. And at first I went to the book of Revelations, and then my spirit, it didn't settle in my spirit. So I went to Matthew, and that didn't settle in my spirit. But when I went to the book of St. Luke, and while I was there pondering over the scriptures, reading the scriptures, I got a phone call. And when I got this phone call, I began to share with this lady about the dreams I had been having. And in our conversation, I remembered that there were no people at the banquet. And then I told her, I said, I got it. God just gave it to me. And this is how we are ending up in Luke chapter number 14. And you'll understand as we began to read in St. Luke. We're going to begin the reading at 14th chapter, verse number 16. It says this, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many," meaning he urged them to come. He incited by words for them to come. And verse 17 says, "And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that was bidden," invited, they were invited at no cost, no expense to them. He says, "Come," that's an invitation. "Come, for all things are now ready." Everything was ready. They just had to show up. They didn't have to pay anything. There was no expense whatsoever. No cost to them at all. All right? Now, it goes on and it says in verse number 18, "And they all with one consent," one voice, "began to make excuses." They began to make excuses. "The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." All right? He didn't want to come to the banquet, even though there was no cause, no expense. He did not want to come to the banquet. He found an excuse. Then verse number 19 says, "And another said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." something that's not going to cost you anything, but you get everything else you put in the way of being a part of this banquet, this supper. And then in verse number 20 it says, and another said, I had married a wife, and therefore, he says, I cannot come. He didn't say, I pray that you allow me not to come. He just said, I can't come. I got me a wife. So, you know, they were newlyweds. So he figured that, okay, I don't need to go to this banquet. Me and my wife, we need to celebrate. Now, in verse number 21, because see, all of them rejected going to the banquet. All of them rejected it. They all made excuses. Now, verse number 21 says this. So that servant came, and he showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Go out to the inner city. And bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. He said, go out. Since those that was bidden to come, that was urged to come, they don't want to come. They made all kind of excuses. But look at the people that the Lord told them to go out and get. He told them where to go. Go to the streets. And then go to the lanes. Go get the outcast. He said, go get the outcast. He said, what you need to do, he says, now you want to extend your reach. Go get the outcast. What oftentimes church folk consider outcast, right? Because he distinctly says the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Now, those that are despised, you know how it is. I don't know what churches you all ever attended during your lifetime. But they're like, we don't want certain kind of folk in our church. Well, I thought it was the Lord's church, first of all. But they decide that certain people can't come in. If you didn't look like them, if you didn't dress like them, you didn't live like them, you didn't drive what they drove, you know, because in their mindset, that they are on a different plane. You know, they are higher stature. And so certain folk, they didn't want to, thank you, Holy Spirit, rub elbows with. They don't want to deal with the poor, those that don't have the riches that they do. Because sometimes when you get riches, you be careful how they got them. Amen. Amen. But the Lord specifically says, go out and get the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind, those that are despised. Now, what we want to do, we want to go to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. The book of 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And we're going to see how God deals with the poor, because we're going to come back to Luke chapter number 14 and read a couple more verses from there. All right, 1 Samuel chapter number 2, and we're going to begin looking at verse number 8. We're going to look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, he raises up the poor out of the dust, out of the rubbish. And he lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, means the waste places, to set them among princesses and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the Lord, the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon him. So what the Lord does is he raises up the poor, the very one that we throw aside, those that we don't want around us to be a part of our lives. God said, I'm going to raise them up. See, those that was invited, that thought they really had a place, they felt like they were too good to come to the banquet. But God said, I'm going to have some people in my banquet. All right? So I'm going to skip around a little bit. So, Dr. Manning, you're going to have to follow me here. Then in verse number 2 in St. Luke chapter number 14, it says this now. He says, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou have commanded, and yet there is room. That means there's a whole lot of people that's out there that's been despised, that's been written off and considered to be worthless. And then verse number 23 says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bitten shall taste of my supper. See, when we reject God's invitation, God will remove us right on out the way. And those that we consider less fortunate, maimed, poor, you know, no good, got all kind of situations going on in life, God says, I'm going to call them to my banquet. I'm going to call them. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because, see, one thing about mankind, what we will do is we will put people in positions, or it would be like, I think it talks about in the book of James, where the people come in, they like to take the high seat. They go up front. But God said, be careful in that, because somebody might tell you, you need to move and go back to the back. So you don't choose the high seat. You let the Lord exalt you. You let the Lord lift you up. But he says, now extend your reach. And then he says, send them out into the highways, the byways. And then he talks about the hedges. I said, wait a minute, God, what you mean about the hedges? He said, those that's living in the alleys. He said, go get them. He says, go get those people that are broken. Go get those folks that's laying on the streets that has no hope. See, we're so busy dealing with what's in the house, but what's in the house, I already think that they know. They don't have enough sense to know that they need to come to the banquet and not make excuses. But they did. And you know what happens when we make excuses? We will lose our seat. They lost their seat. All right. Now we're going to get back on track. Let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. 2 Samuel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Going to look at verse number 6. Second Samuel, chapter number 5, verse number 6. It says, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites. Now, the Jebusites are a trip. They're just like church folk. I'm not talking about the bride of Christ, like church folk. He says, the inhabitants of the land, that's who live there, which spake unto David, saying, except though thou take away the blind, the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. In other words, certain kind of folk they did not want in the temple. It does not sound like church folk today. Certain kind of folk they don't want in the house. But yet we're supposed to be about being witness for the Lord. We're supposed to be able to go out, and the Bible says compel, invite people to come in from every walk of life, from every avenue of life. But most church folks scared to go out. Now make sure now you're armed and equipped, clothed, and your warfare garment when you go out there. Because if you got a problem yourself, you can't go out there and try to pull somebody else in, because, you know, the blind can't lead the blind. You know, we got to make sure that's straight. Amen. But those of us that name the name of Jesus Christ, God is saying, I want you to go out there and get those people that other folk don't want. Invite them to come to my banquet. Invite them to come to hear the word of God, because they need hope. They have no hope. Why do you think they are out there? They don't have any hope. Somebody said, well, they made that choice. Do you know that? Because when they were born, they never thought they would be there in that type of situation. But as life came along, they ended up, circumstances and situations that they sometimes had a control over and sometimes they did not have a control over, they ended up in those places. But God said, those are the ones I'm going to bring to my banquet. Those are the ones. Now, look at verse number 8 in 2 Samuel. We're still here in 2 Samuel chapter number 5. We're still here. Looking at verse number 8 in chapter 5, verse number 8 in 2 Samuel. It says, and David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth a Jebusite. See, some folks you just got to kill out. Then he said, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, talking about them Jebusite, them church folk, the blind, the lame shall not come into this house. I remember, and I remember we a few weeks ago we had someone to come in, and he wanted to share his testimony, and he did. And he had had a stroke, or he had taken some illicit drugs, and he began to share about what happened to him when he took them. He ended up in a coma for 5 days. But he came here to give a message, and he had turned his life around, but it took that, and he was an old man. But it took that, but he came to give a message to the church, to those that was in the house. He came to give a message. And he gave that message because I think they said they call him Slowpoke. He was dragging one leg because that was the residue of what had happened to him. But we got to understand that the Lord is inviting the body of Christ to the banquet. He's inviting us to come to the banquet. But what will our excuse be? What will our excuse be when God gives us that invitation to come to the supper? Remember now, in the dream, there were no people, but there was a whole lot of food. There was a celebration to take place. But man did not want to be a part of it. That's why there were no people. And I said, okay, y'all. Now, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Are y'all with me? Are you hearing what the Lord is saying? Go into the book of Ecclesiastes now. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 13. You know, going back to the poor again. This is how, not just in our lifetime, but in the biblical lifetime as well. Solomon's the preacher. And this is what he says in chapter number 9, beginning reading at verse number 13. Verse number 13, he says this. He said, this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. He's amazed. Now, verse number 14 says, there was a little city, few men within, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it and took control and built great bulwarks, which is walls against it. Give me the next verse. It says, now there was found in it, look at this, look at the words, a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Then it says, yet no man remembered that same poor man. See, they want to use the wisdom of the poor man, but after they get what they want, then they don't want to have the poor man, no recognition for him. It was by his wisdom, the wisdom that God had given him, that he was able to deliver the city. But then they didn't remember it. You know how quickly people forget? Huh. They forget. You know that, brother, right? They forget. They forget when there was somebody you did not expect to use their wisdom for a situation and a circumstance to bring the people out or rescue the people. They didn't remember him anymore. You know how it is when you do stuff for people. You know how you bless folk. You know, y'all been there. And then when they get up a little bit, they don't even know you no more. They even forgot you blessed them. They even forgot you were the one that gave them what they needed for them to come out of the situation they were in. I don't know why they get in amnesia. But, you know, they need to begin to recollect and remember who helped them. It's only by the power of God that God touched somebody's heart to allow them to do what they did. But it says that they didn't even remember the poor man, even though he delivered them. We got to be careful that we don't do that. That we don't be subject to that. And then it says, in verse number 16, he says, Solomon, he says, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. I don't care how strong you are. You need wisdom. Wisdom is better than strength. Then he says, nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. I've experienced that. Job situation, I experienced that. I could say one thing and told them how to fix it. They didn't want to receive it. But when someone else came along and said the exact same thing, they received it. But you got to know how to handle those type of situations. And then it says, not only was his wisdom, the poor man's wisdom, was despised, but then he says, and his words are never heard. Have you ever thought about why people don't want to listen to you? Listen, you got a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that. All you do is go to the scripture because the Bible tells you. A poor man's wisdom is never heard. So that way you don't have to worry about being hurt, being sad and inside. Because the Bible's already given us an answer. No matter how you use your wisdom, if you don't come up to the world's standards, they don't want to listen to you, even though you may have the answer. And even though you may have allowed some things to take place that you knew and you delivered them out of that situation, when it's over and said and done, they threw with you. Have you ever had people to use you? When they got through using you, they done with you? They kind of toss you aside. See, that's... But those are the ones that God called to the banquet. The poor, the lame, the halt, the blind. Those are the ones, those that were considered outcasts. Those are the ones that, listen, these I've sent the word to, they don't want it. So you go out here and you go into the alleys, go out in the hedges and the highways and the byways, and you compel those people to come to Christ. Let me tell you something, you ain't going to lose your Holy Ghost if you go out there. If you do, that means you didn't have it when you went. Can I get an amen on that? Because you should be able to come back the same way you went. Because if you go and you get entangled, that means you didn't have what you thought you had. And you wasn't ready to go. All right. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Then verse number... I'll read 17. It says, the word of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Now, the next place we want to go, thank you, Holy Spirit, we're going to the book of Revelations. Because, see, there's a greater supper. And then I thought about the second dream that I had. Might have been the third. I don't know. I just keep having them. And I remember, and I've shared this, I remember that I was supposed to perform this wedding ceremony. And as I entered into the building, for whatever reason, I don't know why I stepped aside, but I stepped to the side. And there was a gentleman down front, and he came back to me. And as he came back to me, he asked me, he said, now, are you one to perform the ceremony? And I said to the Lord, I said to the guy, I said, well, yes, I am. And then he says, now, he had on this badge. I don't know what kind of badge it was, but I remember seeing a badge. And then he began to lead me down front. But when I get there, and this is what's strange, and this is what takes us to Revelation chapter number 19. When I get there, I see the bride had on a beautiful, beautiful gown. And when I walked up to her, I kissed her on the jaw. I also saw the groom. Now, there were no bridesmaids, mind you, and there were no groom in there. It wasn't like a normal wedding. But the strangest thing, and I couldn't understand why the ceremony was never performed. I never got the chance to perform the ceremony. Well, I began to express to other people about the dream that I had, and everybody was telling me something different. But it doesn't resonate in my soul, in my spirit. But last Sunday morning, and I shared this probably last Sunday morning when I was preparing to come here to together with the saints of God, I heard the Lord said vividly, the reason why you could not perform the ceremony, he says, because the church is not ready for my return. The church is not ready for the second coming of Christ. He said, that's why you couldn't perform the ceremony. That thing really settled in my spirit, and I knew it was God speaking. The same way when we looked at Luke and all those that was bidden to the banquet, to the supper, you know, they made all kind of excuses. People are making all kinds of excuses. Church folk are making all kinds of excuses. Those that name the name of Jesus Christ are making all kinds of excuses. And God said, the church is not ready for me to come back. Because see, when he come back, he won't come back as a lamb. He's going to come back as a lion of Judah. It's going to be totally, totally different. And I said, yes, Lord, I understand now why he has not come. And we've been begging him to come. Come and get us. He said, no, I can't. He said, I don't want nobody to perish. I don't want anybody to perish. So I'm going to hold up my coming because you ain't ready. Church not ready. We think we are, but God says we are not ready. That might be strong. Might be a bitter pill to some, but it's true. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter number 19. Because this is the main supper that we want to be a part of. It's very important. Very important. Very important. Verse number 7 says this. Verse number 7, Revelation chapter number 19. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Marriage is a union. Is come. And his wife, the bride, have made herself ready. Church. This is we're nearing the end. Church made herself ready. And how do I make myself ready? You got to honor the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. You got to deny our flesh. We have to deny our flesh. Because, see, our flesh like different stuff, right? What that man said? I can't come. I got a wife. I just got married. How many excuses do we make when God tells us to do things? One of them talked about the land that he had. He got to go see the... What that got to do with doing the work of the kingdom? I got to go do these different things. But it's personal today. What are the excuses that we are making, the church, the body of Christ? What are our excuses? See, everybody's got an excuse why they can't. Your excuse may not be my excuse, but it's still an excuse. When we talk about going out in the hedges and highways and dealing with people that most church folk consider undesirable, first thing we say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, they're normal people just like you. They just somewhere strayed away. And sometimes we forget at one point in our own lives, we were like them too. was only by the goodness and the grace of God that we got on the right track. And sometimes we get off track. If the truth be known, and if we tell the truth. Holy Spirit, don't make me say that. Because he says, you know, a lot of times church folks are bad about lying. But do we not know the Bible says all liars gonna have their place in the lake of fire? But we look at everybody else and seeing that we still lying. God said, you got a place along there with them. You're gonna be in the lake of fire too. But there's a supper, a great supper. And then verse number 8 says this in Revelation chapter number 9. Verse number 8 says, and to her, talking about the bride, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Listen, that ain't got nothing to do with no fine sheet, no linen cloth and all that stuff. Watch what the scripture says. It says, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. How do we dress ourselves? In righteousness. In righteousness. And the beauty of righteousness is that the Lord himself has clothed us in his righteousness. Because, see, our righteousness is like filthy rags, according to the scripture. But he said that bride. And she, when she shows back up, when she finally comes to the marriage supper of the Lamb, she is going to be clothed in righteousness. And verse number 9 says, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. See, when we get that invitation and we receive that invitation, when we allow ourselves to be clothed in the righteousness of God, God said we are blessed. Just the mere fact that we're going to get an invitation and be there at the marriage supper of the Lord, the Lamb, it's amazing to me. I'm honored. Every saint ought to be honored. To be, I think it used the word called. I believe it said called. It did. Blessed are they which are called. That means everybody may not get an invitation. I had another dream too this week. In fact, I had one this morning too. I had another dream and it was talking about where this lightning, it looked like lightning, but it really wasn't lightning. I guess it was. I'm not sure what it was, but it was low to the ground. It was pure white and it was hitting people. But it didn't hit everybody. And then when I go and I see this, go to this room and I see this doctor there. And when I look and I was going there and I saw this stuff, it was something coming up out of me. It was white. It was like a tube. It was white and it was like oozing out. And I go over there. So I'm going to this doctor. And when I get there close, I look in this room and all I see was dead bodies everywhere. And then it changed, and I saw this woman lying in this bed, and all of a sudden what was happening, I saw like the same lightning. It was low. It wasn't coming from the heavens. It came low to the ground, and it was hitting her, and she talked about knowing that it was raining on the outside, but she couldn't really hear it on the inside. And then the next thing, I said, Lord, what is this? What is this? And I heard one word. And I come up out of the dream, and that one word was chosen. Many are called, is what the scripture says, but few are chosen. I want to be one of those chosen ones that sits at the marriage supper of the Lamb.